to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 through 17. And then also we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews as well, chapter 2. This morning my message is entitled, The Spirit Brings Action. And of course, action to our lives. And read along. Now, this set of verses deals with Pentecost. And we're a few weeks away from Pentecost yet. And so, but I'm not going to focus on the portion of the Spirit being unleashed and so on, but after that. And just so I want to set the stage for what's going on here at the Holy Spirit, and then we'll lead into some other things this morning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there was staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour my Spirit on all people.'" And then turn to the book of Hebrews with me. Chapter 2. Beginning at verse 3. I'm going to read the second half of that verse, where it starts out, "This salvation. This salvation, which was first announced by our Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him." And that would be, of course, his witnesses and his apostles that seen Jesus rise from the dead and visit them. But then it goes on to say this: "God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." And so that second part of that last verse is key this morning. Gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here this morning in your name, Lord, may you bless us with the presence of your Spirit. Lord, it's by your word and by your actions as the triune God that you work through us. And Lord, may that same work that worked through Jesus Christ work in our lives today. Lord, may you bless this word as it goes out to your people. Lord, may you give them understanding and knowledge of how to use it in their lives. Lord, I also pray that these words are yours and never mine. Fill me with that same Holy Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. Let me talk to you about a man by the name of Larry Walters. You probably have heard the story. It's been quite a few years now. Larry was 33 years old, and he decided that he wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective. And you'll notice that, recognize the story when I read it to you. So he went down to his local Army surplus store, and he bought 33 weather balloons, big balloons. And he decided to fill them with helium and strap them to a lawn chair and to see if he could rise up above his community. And his goal was to rise up about 100 feet above and to get a bird's eye view of what was going on. And so this is what he took with him: a 6-pack of beer, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and a BB gun, thinking that I'd shoot out the balloons and that I'd lower back down to earth. The problem was that when he took off, he rose to 11,000 feet over Los Angeles, and it caused all kinds of chaos, shut down the airport and all kinds of things. And so he was there for over 2 hours before the helium kind of settled down and he went back to earth. And guess who was waiting there for him as he landed? The local police department was there. And the TV news crews were there. and they begin to ask him three questions this morning. And here's what they were. Were you scared? And of course, Larry answered, yes. And they asked him, would you do it again? And he said, no. And then they asked him, why did you do it? And here's the punchline I want you to think about in your Christian walk with your life. And here's what I want you to understand and get. He said, you just can't sit there. There's more to life than just sitting there. And that's what his response was to the media and the press. And that's what I want to kick off this morning in your spiritual life. When God calls you to move and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, you are not able to just sit there. You are called to action in your life. All right? So I want you to think about Larry this morning as we go through this message. The Holy Spirit is an agent of change in your life. Let me back up one here. I want you to think about the ways that he manifests himself to you and I. The way that he fills us, the way that he uses us, the things he calls you to when you're walking with Jesus Christ. This is only possible if you're a believer, all right? That God uses you in these ways. And just let me just share a few with you this morning of the different ways that he uses you and I. And here's how he manifests himself. We're familiar with these words. We hear them often in song, in scripture, and so on. All right? He manifests himself as a dove, as fire, as wind, as wine, and even water. Now, I'm not going to talk about the water because we got a good understanding of that. It refreshes, it restores. We use it at baptism. But I do want to talk about the first four that I mentioned to you this morning. If you begin to understand these four ways of action that he works in your life, I think you'll have a deeper grasp on your spiritual life. What is God doing in my life, or what is he calling me to do in my life? And to give you some understanding. Now, I read to you the verse out of Hebrews this morning, and I said, hang on to the second part of verse 3, when it said, God testified by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed to you and I, according to what God wants for us in our lives. Right? His will is what he's saying to us in Scripture here this morning. And I've always preached to you every Sunday about the Spirit's work is to reveal who to you? Jesus Christ. That's his job. To teach you about who Jesus is in your life, that you and I can have salvation and eternal life in heaven. That's his number one job to you and I. And we walk with that Spirit every day in our lives. And so let's get started this morning with the very first one. The Spirit is like a dove. All right? And I have verses that will go along with this. You get your outline. Please fill it in. In the four Gospels, you will see that the Spirit is described as descending on Jesus like a dove at his baptism. Matthew 3, verse 16. The moment Jesus came up out of the water, the baptismal waters in the Jordan River, right? The skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit descending on him like a dove. That's what Scripture tells us. Four times, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get this vision, this picture of what that's like as a dove descending upon him. What do you know about a dove? Right? Let me share some things with you. A dove is very gentle. All right? It's very loving in nature. They're timid. You can scare a dove very easily, and they fly away. Right? They only come to rest and to stay where they feel safe and secure. Anything outside of that, they will not show up. Those are the characteristics of a dove. And get this. This is such a good one. Did you know that when a dove finds a mate, that they mate for life? They stay with each other until death. All right? Now, you got this idea of a dove in your mind. And we know that these are pictures that we're trying to describe what the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit is not an actual dove. Let me clarify that for you. That's not how he works, but we get this picture of a worldly animal that God chooses to teach us of what his Spirit is like. But here's what I want you to ask yourself this morning, and a question. How does that image of a dove help you understand who the Spirit of God is in your life? What does that look like? After I shared those characteristics with you, what does that look like in your life from day to day? And let me ask you some deeper questions this morning that help cement this in. Does the Spirit feel safe and at peace in your life? Will it want to hang out in your life? Are you doing things that are allowing it to stay in your life that you feel safe, that the Spirit feels safe to stay there? All right, think about that as you live the Christian life. Because that can be tough sometimes, can't it? And not saying that you got to be perfect or that I have to be perfect. By God's grace, we know that we're not perfect. We all fall short and sin enters in. But does the Spirit feel safe and at peace in your life? And you might ask yourself, well, how do I make that possible? And here's how you do that. When your heart is pursuing the things of Jesus Christ in your life, the Spirit is going to feel safe to live in your life. When you start to pursue things that are outside of the things that God wants you to pursue, the not so good things in life, maybe the sinful things in life, the Spirit is not going to feel safe. It's going to back off. And I've mentioned this in other sermons this morning, and you get it, you understand what I'm talking about when I say those types of things. And so you get this picture of the dove. And now let's move to the Spirit is like fire. Let's understand what God teaches us in Scripture this morning about this. Now, let me just give you some examples in the Old Testament where God used fire as the Holy Spirit to speak to people, to lead his people, to move his people. How many of you know the story of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3? Right, Moses, burning bush. The Spirit works through there. How many of you know the story of the pillar of fire that led the Israelites out of Egypt, right? By day it was cloud, by night it was fire. What do you know about fire? It consumes. It gives you heat and warmth. What else do you know about fire? It gives you light so you can see in the dark places, right? Now, I want you to think about in your life, if the Spirit of God is in you and he burns like you, like a fire, what does that look like in your spiritual walk with God day in and day out? What does that mean for you and I, right? How does this fire help you understand who the Spirit is in your life? And I got some examples for you. A fire, the Spirit in you produces heat. What do you know about heat when it's too hot? What do you do about it? You move, don't you? Yeah. Right? When the fire of the Spirit's alive in you and I, it will cause you to move. It will cause you to action. Just like Larry, right? The balloons. It causes you to do some things. See, in the Spirit of God, when it catches fire in your life, it causes you to move in the things that God wants you to be a part of or involved in your life. Now, here is the catch. This is the hard part. A lot of times, you and I, when we get to those places that we feel uncomfortable with, we like to throw water on the fire, and we quench it, don't we? But if we're willing to go there where God calls us to, and to do the things he calls you and I to do, you'll be greatly blessed. I preach that to you often as well, that God wants to use you. So you have to step out of your comfort zone just a little bit. And I'm going to help you step out of that comfort zone in just a little bit with some wine. All right? And you're thinking, what is he talking about this morning? All right? So hang on to that this morning, that thought. So your goal is not to quench the fire of the Spirit. Now let me ask you another before I jump to the next one. What fans the flame of the Spirit in your life? What causes you to get passionate about certain things that God calls you to do? What gets your heart stirred up in your spiritual walk? All right? There are different things. Remember, we read the second part of that verse out of Hebrews 2, verse 3, when it said he causes us to have gifts that God wills upon us that we need to do for the work of the kingdom. Because you and I, we have different passions and different desires, and God calls us to all kinds of things here this morning. And so I want to fan the flame just a little bit for you this morning in your life of the things that God might be calling you to do. I don't know what they are, but God does, and he reveals them to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. And often those are things that you enjoy doing in the kingdom of heaven. I talked about school teachers here just a little bit ago and the passion that they have to teach and to instruct and so on. And if you've never been a school teacher before, just let me say this to you. When you teach, it is such a blessing. Now, there are difficult things that come in the midst of that. There are work that has to be done in prepping and studying, preparing. But the blessing far outweighs those things. That's one example that I can give you. And there are many things that go on in the life of the kingdom of God, not just the church, right? When we start just thinking about the church, you put God in a box, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to think kingdom type of ministries, things that go on in your lives, that work or whatever it might be. So what is that flame, and how do you need to fan that in your life? And this, let me give you some ideas of how to fan that. These are simple ideas, and often you need to just pray for the Spirit of God to move you in a certain way, right? Open doors, close doors. You can read Scripture. You can gather for Bible study, and whatever it might be, have a conversation with a good friend that's a Christian and say, you know, I've been thinking about this. What is your opinion? Right? Get some encouragement. Where's God leading you? That helps you fan the flame of your passions inside of you. And when your passions meet with God's will, that's the sweet spot of life. You're going to feel content. You're going to feel fulfilled. And that's where you want to live. That doesn't mean that it's easier. There's the difficult things that come into it. But I'm telling you, that's where you want to live as a Christian believer. The Spirit helps you get to that point in your life. Let me share this next one. The Spirit is like wind. I have so many examples of wind I could give you this morning, and I'm sure you do too, right? There has been so much wind. Last night I was at a graduation party, and I was talking to a friend of ours, and he said that the month of April was the windiest month ever recorded on record in Iowa, where we live. Does anybody disagree with me this morning? I don't think so. Right? We even took it into May. And I know that it's damaged a lot of things this past year. But let me share with you John 3, verse 8. Give you some understanding of when God says the Spirit is like the wind. All right? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit that's in you and I. It moves us, right? It moves us in ways that we least expect. You see things happen and you think, who would have ever thought that they would be doing this? Who would have ever thought that so-and-so would have ever been a part of this church? Who would have ever thought that this person would be leading a Bible study? Who would have ever thought that he would ever be a preacher someday? Right? Those are things that the Spirit, the wind of God, moves people in certain ways that you least expect it to happen. And the Spirit of God, it changes lives. Right? There are stories of people whose lives have changed drastically. God calls them to himself. You know, winds can range from a gentle, cool breeze to a hurricane and everywhere in between. And you got to experience that this past week in a mighty way. So think about what the wind does. It can be destructive, but it can also bring about a lot of good. It can dry wet ground. It creates change, doesn't it? Think about that. The wind scatters pollen and seed for plants to grow. It brews up a thunderstorm for much-needed rain. And we often find wind when the seasons are changing. Now, I want you to think about what I just talked to you about this morning. How does the wind of the Holy Spirit, how does that speak to your life this morning? What is he stirring in your life? Where is he taking to in your life? I don't know where you're heading. God does. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. But the Spirit of God is always working. He's guiding, he's directing, he's moving you in a certain direction in your life. And so here's a question for you this morning. How might the wind of the Spirit be bringing you into action into a new season of life? Because some of you are going through a different season of life, right? It's the wind of the Holy Spirit that guides and pushes and directs you into whatever area you might find yourself in from time to time. And let me say this to you, the new area of life that God's pushing you into, you're going to be just fine. Even though you're worried about it, even though you're unsure about it, and you don't know how it's going to end, but if you're with God, you're going to be just fine. Be encouraged by that today in your life. So where's the wind of the Spirit moving you to? Sometimes we don't like that change. But God calls us to live in a deeper relationship with Him, and He uses the wind of the Spirit to move us there in our lives. So be aware of the wind of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, here comes a more interesting one. The Spirit is like wine, all right? And notice we read that this morning in the book of Acts. The disciples had to correct them because everybody thought, hey, these people, they've had way too much. They're drunk. I mean, they're plastered. What are they saying? I mean, this is crazy, right? Is what they recognize. Acts 2, verse 13. They've had too much wine. And unfortunately, some of us has probably experienced that maybe in our own life, or maybe somebody we know that's had too much to drink, right? And they get a little full. What do you know about somebody that maybe has a little too much to drink? Now, I'm talking about alcohol here. I'm not talking about too much of the Spirit of God. How many have been around people that all of a sudden you cannot shut them off? Right? They start talking and they start telling you stuff that they would never tell you if they were sober and in the right mind. And sometimes you hear things like, oh, that's, what is it, TMI? Right? TMI. Oh, TMI. Right? Get it? Too much to drink. But then notice they correct him and say, no, this is not how it goes. And so we get the effect of alcohol on the people. They become free with their words, and they often speak about things they normally wouldn't share with others. How many of you heard of people call a drink or a can of beer, oh, I need a can of encouragement, right? You got something that's difficult you got to go talk about, or you're unsure how it's going to go, and so maybe you feel to yourself, you know, I could just really use just a good drink or something like that. And by the way, I'm leading you down a road somewhere, so just hold on to that, all right? But you feel uncomfortable. You're not sure how to handle something in your life, and you might resort to the earthly thing, having a beer or a drink or something like that to get through whatever you're faced with in your life. And by the way, as a believer, you're not called to get drunk and out of your mind. If you have a drink and you can control it, that is totally fine, but you're not supposed to go overboard, right? Biblically says don't go that far. But here's my point I want you to make this morning. When you drink the wine of the Spirit, it will cause you to do things in your life that you normally wouldn't do. And I'm not talking about bad or negative things. I'm talking about things that when a neighbor calls and says, I need some help, and you're not sure what to do about that, when they unload on you, that they have a tough situation, and they don't know what to do, and they call you. Or you have a friend that's going through a tough spot in their marriage and they reach out to you and say, you know what? I need some help figuring this out and I don't know what to do. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't know what to do either. And this is where the wine of the Spirit steps in. When we rely upon God's Spirit to give us words to speak, to have those conversations that you might be called into, that's where the wine of the Spirit steps in, and you begin to say things and to talk about things that you maybe thought, I could never have done this. There's no way that you would go there under your own power, because you need a little bit of the wine of the Spirit to get you there. Are you with me this morning? Do you see what I'm saying? Because the flesh will not take you there. Just like the can of encouragement that you need, fill yourself with the wine of the Spirit. Because God will take you there. And He'll supply all your needs in abundance in your life. So how has the wine of the Spirit affected you? What's going on in your life? Right? Are you listening to where He's leading you? Are you listening to what He might be calling you to do in your life? And believe me, families are messy, right? And people's lives get messy. Hard things come into them. And you can come here, and I know, as being your pastor for so many years, I know your families well. And let me share this with you this morning. There is no thing as a perfect family. You will not find it. I don't care how polished you are and how good you look on Sunday morning. Each one of us is broken. Right? Let the Spirit lead and guide. Live life together. Support one another. And that's what God calls us to do through the Holy Spirit in our lives. So how has the Spirit affected you? Are you listening? Let me bring this around this morning. You guys remember Larry? When they asked him to comment, he said, "You just can't sit there." That's my point to you this morning. He's called you to action. He's called us not just to sit around, and he calls us to be active in the church, right? The Holy Spirit's presence in your life, it's going to produce evidence. You're going to have a trail of stuff that you leave behind you in life, whether you like it or not, right? So why not make it a good trail of Jesus Christ? Because when you start to bear fruit, there will be evidence in your life that the Spirit's alive, it's working, and it's taking you to places in your life. I have another verse on the screen in the yellow box. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, right? Your gift is needed. When God calls you to step into something, step into something. You're needed. God wants to use you. Somebody else needs you in their life. They need to hear what you have to say. They need to be encouraged by the words that you can bring to them in their life. And let me talk to you about the trail. Jesus says it like this. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. The mute will talk. Fear is defeated, and hope is reborn when we live in the Spirit of God. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit moved people. They saw and they heard evidence. I want you to think about your own life this morning. I got a few other questions, and I want you to fill in the blank. Look back over your life with me this morning. What evidence of the Spirit do you see working? I remember when. And tell me what that looks like. I remember when I made profession of faith and gave my life to Christ. I remember when I was sitting in that Sunday school class and I learned about who God was and what Christ had done in my life on the cross for my sins. And that changed who I was. I remember when the Holy Spirit came into my life and I began to cooperate and work with God and how it changed me on the inside. I remember when. Tell me what that looks like in your life. Where have you seen the action? Some of you could write an entire book about how God has taken you to places in your life you never thought you'd be. And the things that He's done in your life, right? Brought you salvation through Jesus Christ, committed your life to Christ, given you eternal life. That's the greatest gift of all this morning. And if you're sitting there this morning, you're thinking, man, I've not seen any action. Then let me say this to you this morning. Ask God to come into your life and give you the action of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And like I told you before, you got to be a follower of Christ to experience these actions. You got to give your life to Christ because he sends the Spirit. Now, I realize the Spirit brings action to bring you to a faith. He's working already. But if you want to get to these four things I talked about this morning, you have to start living in the Spirit and be a follower of Jesus Christ in your life, in which most of you, if not all of you, probably are. You're followers of Jesus Christ. And that's a great thing this morning. So pray. Lord, how do you need to fill my life? I need help. Pray those prayers this morning and ask God to lead, to bring you to action. All right? Get quiet before him. Let's do that now as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've learned about the ways of your Spirit in our lives and the action that it calls us to, Lord, may we have better understanding of what this looks like. Lord, your word speaks of it. And Lord, may we digest that this morning as we just heard this message. Lord, make it real to us as we leave here today. May that be on our minds of the ways that you call us to live. In Jesus I pray, amen.